The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Last show before Thanksgiving, and we are thankful for directors and producers and camera technicians or TDs, APs, whoever decided to put a camera on top of the pylon. Look at that.
Nice.
And whoever in the Korean League decided to give out a sword for winning it all. That's bold. Let's go.
I can't drink at it.
The Holy Grail.
They won the Holy Grail.
First place, Los Angeles Rams. Bill Plaschke, you back on the bandwagon yet? Yeah, looks like you are. A 27-24 win. Golf outplaying Brady. And now back-to-back wins over the Seahawks and Bucks in the world of Bill Plaschke's. Trying to figure out how high the ceiling is of this division-leading Rams team. Bill, what did we learn about the Rams last night? What is their ceiling?
We learned the City of Champions has another contender. The Rams are headed, they have to be the leading contender to go to the Super Bowl. They're the best team in the NFC right now. Anybody watched last night has to agree with that. Their defense, ranked third in the league, was all over Tom Brady. And Aaron Donald didn't even have a great game. Then Jared Goff, 17 completions, 191 yards, two touchdowns against the Blitz. That was just against the Blitz. He's matured into a great young quarterback. He led the team on the great drive at the end of the first half for the field goal. And then on a game-winning field goal drive with a great third-down pass to Kupp. The Rams have it going right now.
They do.
Sean McVay has really proved people wrong.
And what's great about all that, one of the people they proved wrong was you, Bill Plaschke, because you said they were no good just 2 weeks ago. And then they go and they be, this is an unbelievable pivot here from Plaschke. But they now lead the division, Israel Gutierrez. Are the Rams for real? What's their ceiling?
Well, there's two things from last night that sort of was jaw-dropping for me. One was Cooper Kupp's feet. Now, I know there's a lot of good wide receivers in the league, but he was putting on a show yesterday. And him and Robert Woods, I say that to put them together, and they were spectacular, right? The other thing that was really, really good was that two-minute drill at the end of the first half that got them the 3 points that eventually won them the game, right, by the three-point margin. And so, this is all coming from a team that threw the ball a ton and normally run the ball more than they throw the ball. And so what I see is a team that's versatile, a team that can win in a lot of different ways. Nothing spectacular, nothing that's going to blow you away except for maybe that defensive line. But if they put it all together, then they can be the top team in the NFC. I'd still put them a notch below the Saints, but they can compete with the top teams if they put it all together. That yesterday wasn't the case. They didn't have their running game, but they pivoted, threw the ball a lot, were successful there, and obviously won by a few.
Kevin Blackstone, when you see this Rams team 2 years removed from the Super Bowl, and they had that hangover the year in between, are they back to being a team that can get to the Super Bowl?
They are back to being a team that can get to the Super Bowl, but I am concerned about that running game. I mean, they could use Gurley right now. They could use somebody who you could just hand the ball off to and could get you a big chunk of yardage. Jared Goff obviously is much better than what he was, but at the end of the game, you know, they didn't seem to really trust Jared Goff. I mean, they ran some plays there at the end that I was wondering, well, why don't they trust their quarterback? The difference with this team is obviously their defense. Their front four is fantastic. Jalen Ramsey on the backside is fantastic. He's a guy who can eliminate a receiver. And that's what they did. They did not blow Tampa Bay out of the water last night. They won by this much.
Yeah.
It could have been turned around.
Since you're alluding to it, I think you're talking about McVay's third down run and settle for the field goal and give the ball back to Tom Brady. They didn't make the decision to throw there. The previous possession had a fumble and an interception on it, and maybe that was in the back of McVay's mind. Frank, can you consider that possession from the Rams and then their ceiling for what they are now?
Well, the important thing is to get points, and they did that. And to Izzy's point, at the end of the first half, that was so important. So Jared Goff, to me, He completed 39 passes. And the Buccaneers said, we're going to shut down your running game and we're going to dare Jared Goff to try to beat us. And he did. I understand he threw two interceptions, but that defense is so good and they can dominate you. That's why they're a legitimate threat to get back to the Super Bowl. We keep talking about, can they win a Super Bowl? They've been there before. And Goff, to me, is good enough, but that defense is something else. Aaron Donald did not have a dominant game, and they still were terrific.
Kevin Wants back in. Please, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I think they're the best team, but they're not going to win that division. Seattle's going to win that division because they got a softer schedule.
Easier schedule.
Yeah.
They've already beaten Seattle.
Yeah, and the Rams got to play the Cardinals twice. Seattle.
Israel, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, to KB's point, they might not have trusted him at that moment, but the game plan was to trust Jared Goff. And he did come through for the most part. Obviously had that one gaffe or a couple of them. But right there, I think it's a smart football move to go ahead.
Because many were critical of it. Bill Plaschke, you've been critical of McVay in the past. He's a guy who embraces analytics, it seems, for the first two downs. And then maybe three and four, he gets very conservative.
Yeah, I think it was clear in that running play, he did not trust Jared Goff. And that's probably the last piece to this puzzle is he has to trust him with the game on the line in that situation. I think he was thinking about the earlier interceptions. Yeah. I think that'll come. I've never seen those two work better together than I did last night. And the Rams will be favored in all but one of the remaining games. They're going to win the division, Kevin. They're bearing this.
All right.
They're not.
Seahawks defense.
They're going to split with the
Seahawks
Cardinals.
Defense?
Well, okay. All right. Good. I like where this is going. This is we'll put something on the line. We'll make this interesting next time we talk about
how's that Washington team doing, Kevin?
We'll move on. I want to talk about the Buccaneers and Brady. Two interceptions, way off on those deep balls. Passer rating was below 65. And then, for you people who like body language, the poutiness, and no post-game handshakes again. Frank, has time expired on the learning curve for Tampa here, being something they need to flesh out? And is it now concern that they're not coalescing?
It needs to be better. Tom Brady had 9 total interceptions last year. He already has 9. But remember this, they are now 0-3 against New Orleans and the Rams. Against everybody else, he seems to do pretty well. 2 weeks ago against Carolina, he threw for 341 yards and 3 touchdowns. So we do seem to take his temperature maybe more than other quarterbacks. Those 2 interceptions, though, no excuse for that. He's too good of a quarterback, too experienced to do that. That's a concern, but I'm not selling out yet on Tom Brady. No way.
You know what? Bruce Arians has got some answering to do here, too, because I started thinking about these interceptions and why did they get rid of their quarterback from a year ago? Because he threw a boatload of interceptions. All of a sudden, you have the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, and he's throwing a boatload of interceptions, 1 for 9 on throws over 15 yards, and two of those wound up being picks. So maybe Bruce Arians needs to adjust his formula to what Brady does best at this point in his career.
Israel, when you see a game like last night and Brady had the interceptions and the inaccuracy, but you've seen that in multiple games and they have so many pieces they're constantly adding. Is it a Brady issue? Is it an Arians issue? Is it a Byron Leftwich issue? Who's the OC?
Well, I would ask KB, what are Tom Brady's strengths at this point in his career, right? He's not going to be able to move. He's going to be accurate, and really he's going to read the defenses. He's got to be smarter than the defense and find his guys. And so when I look at the game like last night and you put him in position to have a game-tying drive, that's where he's supposed to have an advantage. He's got 3 wide receivers out there who are way above average and a tight end who he trusts with everything. You should be able to, and they talked about it in the broadcast. When he is in the spread formation, he thinks he can read the defenses great. So if you have advantages at the wide receivers and that at advantage at the quarterback position and his supposed accuracy, that's where you're supposed to see Tom Brady. And what we saw was a bad read and a bad throw, and it cost him the game.
Israel, you went from accuracy to supposed accuracy. One of the most accurate balls he threw was the one after he caught his own pass. I mean, the offensive problems, Bill Plaschke. Is it on Brady? Are they on Arians? On Leftwich? Or on something else?
Everybody's talking around the real problem. Tom Brady has completed 33% of his passes under pressure this year. That's 3rd worst in the NFL. In the playoffs, you're going to be under pressure. It's clear to me he can only succeed right now at this stage of his career with a perfect pocket, with a clean backfield, and that's trouble for the Bucs. Yeah. And I think people are everybody's afraid to say it, but the truth is, he's not the same quarterback anymore.
That's well stated, Bill, in an interesting spotlight, because what do we've seen? Losses to New Orleans. New Orleans gets to people recently.
Chicago.
Chicago we saw a loss to, and this loss to the Rams, who get to the quarterback as well. It's the kind of teams you're going to be meeting in the playoffs. All right, moving on now. T-minus 2 hours from the first edition of the college football playoff ranking. Normally, the first ranking comes with the caveat there's a lot of football left. This year, who knows how much football is left. Israel, who's your top four right now, and who's just on the outside looking in?
Well, so I like Alabama and obviously Notre Dame at 1-2. Me, I would put Clemson at number 3. Obviously, they didn't play that game against Notre Dame with Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, if you're going with the eye test, which is this year, you're probably going to have to judge more than actual results. I would keep Clemson. They're probably the best team I've seen with Trevor Lawrence there. And obviously, you have to keep Ohio State there. But looking at their schedule, looking at their resume, it's not very impressive. So if there is a Cincinnati that can come and leapfrog them, if there is even a one-loss team, again, without that many games for to judge, if you look at what they've done in the few games they've played Ohio State, not great. So they should be at number 4 and barely hanging on.
Bill Plaschke, I was looking at your face, and when Israel said Cincinnati, you started percolating a little bit. You have Cincinnati in your top 4?
Alabama. Here's my top 4. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and a team from Ohio named Cincinnati.
Okay.
They're better than Ohio State. Did you see the yardage Ohio State came up against Indiana this last weekend? That was horrendous. No, Cincinnati's got a good schedule. They got a good quarterback. They're well coached from a former Ohio State coach. Cincinnati.
All that may be true, but yeah, to have them over Ohio State, Blackstone, yes. You're shaking your head. No, go ahead.
They played twice as many games.
There happen to be two undefeated teams in a Power 5 conference called the Big Ten. One happens to be Ohio State, and the other one happens to be the Northwestern Wildcats. And whoever winds up undefeated at the end of the year in the Big Ten is going to be playing in that Final Four. Put that one down.
No, Kevin, this is the first time we've seen you since Northwestern's enormous win over Wisconsin, the 10-7 win. 10 punts.
Yeah, you want me to break it
down? For Northwestern, 7 punts for Wisconsin.
Counts as a win.
That was the score. On the scoreboard, it was 17-7. Frank Isola, can you give us a 4 maybe from a team that you didn't, you know, go to the college of?
Well, exactly. Yeah. BYU and Cincinnati. That would be a great monkey wrench. And here's the thing about my esteemed colleagues. We're all great storytellers, or they are, and they want a great story. They want to see Cincinnati in there. They know deep down, if a team from Ohio makes it to the Final Four, it's going to be Ohio State. Remember now, Clemson and Notre Dame will likely play each other ACC championship game. But if Notre Dame were to lose, they'd have one loss. Clemson, I still think they both could get in. Remember, it is Notre Dame. Okay.
Nobody brought up BYU, and they're interesting to me in this regard. They have an open date now. I know you said it, Frank, but the idea that they could make a run. They have an open date this week. And adding a team like Washington, theoretically, could be a win that could put them over the top. And the report is that's a matchup they're not willing to take this week in the open date. We're going to talk some more.
Washington football team?
Teams and open dates and buy or sell next.
The West Coast is all can get.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Things not going great for the Baltimore Ravens right now, and the road getting very difficult to read for the NFL. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, the premier matchup. Baltimore Ravens and the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. So Baltimore comes in having lost 2 straight and reeling, and now running backs J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, among the positive COVID tests, they are out of the game, certainly. In total, 9 positive tests with the franchise. League has said the game will go on. Now, today, Adam Schefter reporting, this isn't the tipping point, but if there are more, the game could be postponed for an open date. Considering all that, Bill Plaschke, from a game standpoint, what position are the Ravens in? And from a game standpoint, what position is the NFL in for seeding here?
Yeah, the NFL should definitely cancel this game, but there's no way they're going to. There's a half a dozen other games this year that should have been canceled. This will be marked one of the COVID games. The reason it's not being canceled, Thanksgiving night, I got 30 million reasons it's not being canceled. The viewership will be huge. The money that the league will take in will be huge. It's too much. And the Ravens don't have a shot with the 31st ranked passing offense, no running backs. Yeah. They don't have a chance. And Forrest.
Israel Gutierrez.
This seems like a lot. Like, this seems like it should be close to the tipping point that would get a postponement or a cancellation. But as you mentioned, and Adam Schefter said, if things don't get any worse, if there are no more positive tests, they're going to go forward with this. And that's because there is Lamar Jackson still healthy and available to play. There's Ben Roethlisberger, and there's Thanksgiving evening. I just don't think there's any way they're going to move this along.
So that's Tour Sam in the ratings and the eyeballs and the importance of a game like this factor into the decision. Should it, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, it shouldn't, but it will. And the other thing that's going to factor in here is logistics, because you said open dates. We're in November now. How many more open dates are there to stick in games that you might have to cancel? This is a losing proposition for the league. It's a losing proposition for the Ravens, who a few weeks ago against the Steelers ran for 265 and still lost.
And still lost the game, right. That's an interesting point you say logistically. Humor me for a second here. So this game needs to be played because, well, it's a huge game and it's the most important game. But your team, Baltimore Ravens, are very much at a disadvantage here. Should they lose this game, they might be on the outside of the playoff pictures. If this game gets postponed, the league has said, correct me if I'm wrong, they will expand the playoffs as well. So that factor that into, Frank, in all the decision-making here.
100%. And what you're saying is if Baltimore has to play this game, it really is a tough break for them. So what would the number be? Is it 12 players? Is it 15? Would it be 20? Short week for them. They're in a very difficult situation, but I agree with everybody else. This game is going to happen this weekend.
It's going to happen, no matter
what.
On
Thursday. Yep.
Part of it is because those first two games, the way the Lions season has gone, the way the Cowboys season has gone, this was the biggest thing in the world in the NFL. Oh, wow. This is the way leagues and sport have approached this all along. And to that, we say buy or sell too. Dabo Swinney saying Florida State used COVID as an excuse to not play this weekend.
This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards.
So now, this dispute about an open date, and in this case, I mean, both teams were ready to play Saturday. They traveled to the game, and the timing of this is very suspect. There's been back and forth since that. FSU coach Mike Norvell says football coaches aren't doctors. It was the medical people who decided there was no game. Swinney today referencing how many coaches Florida State has had recently. Israel, how do you read all that?
Well, you can't just say that the game wasn't canceled because of COVID and not give me proof that it wasn't canceled because of COVID. You can't just try to get everybody on your side by saying, well, the kids wanted to play. Well, of course the student athletes wanted to play. And I understand it was inconvenience that they traveled and everything else, but for him to sort of show a lack of perspective by saying, hey, that school has had three head coaches in the last 4 years, don't try to tell me what to do. I mean, what are you talking about here? You're just talking smack in the middle of a pandemic that's killed hundreds of thousands of people. Just have some perspective and just go ahead and move on with your schedule.
Kevin Blackstone.
Well, he hasn't had perspective on COVID all year long. I mean, this is a guy who was talking back in the summer about just playing through it. It's not that big of a deal. Even when his star quarterback gets it, just plow ahead. And now to say that COVID is an excuse, you know what? If it's an excuse, it's a good excuse not to have a football game. It's a good excuse not even to have a bunch of people in your house for Thanksgiving dinner. It's a good excuse. Makes
Kevin,
sense.
You mentioned Swinney was advising plow ahead. Well, that's what the league has done. The NCAA has done, plowing ahead here. Frank, the way this game was postponed day of, after teams already traveled, and all the talk afterwards, how do you read it?
Yeah, I understand his frustration, but to me, this is the ACC. And correct me if I'm wrong, weren't there about 19 games either canceled or postponed over the weekend? Aren't there college basketball teams that are supposed to start their season tomorrow, and those games are getting postponed? UConn women's team, they've been shut down for a couple weeks because of COVID. It's happening on all these college programs, football and basketball.
Bill Plaschke?
I'm so sick of hearing Dabo act like an infectious disease specialist. I wish he'd wear a mask and a face guard, and we can never hear him speak again. This to imply that this was about football instead of about COVID, yes, sure, they're inconvenienced, We're all inconvenienced. Everybody's in. Ask restaurant owners in LA about who's inconvenienced to COVID. It happens to all of us, to everybody in this country, with people dying. And he's making it about football. Shame on you, Dabo. Shame on you.
Well, I certainly appreciate you all saying that. Thank you, Bill Platt. One more point about this, and I say it again. These teams, they travel to this game, which is already putting everyone in some, you know, relative harm just in travel. Because we know, as was said with this week's holiday, travel is also a risk that we are all taking right now. Israel Gutierrez, Frank Isola, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Although we'll see you for those 2 seconds at the end. We'll get away from you guys. Bill Plaschke, Kevin Blackstone. That's our showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Bill Flash, you've been so composed during the show, but every commercial break, it's just talk. Lakers, I want to talk about the Lakers. I want to talk about they're the greatest team ever. Lakers. Go ahead. Tell us the words we all know you're going to say. It's over after this free agency period. They're going to win again. Go ahead.
I will say this. This is the best team LeBron James has ever been around. Miami Heat including. They are stacked. They're loaded. Just look at their bench. 11th in scoring last year. They got the top two bench scorers in the league. They're stacked.
Really?
Wow. Well, that's kind of interesting. I mean, we did talk about the big three down in Miami when he was there. But you know what? That's an interesting point because it was a big three better than, like, a big two with a whole bunch of other really good parts? You might have
But who's Bosch for the Lakers? Who's Ray Allen for the Lakers, Plaschke? Who's Kevin Love?
Markieff Morris.
I'm not buying it yet. I'm not. You've lost. Matthews. You wanted this topic. Now you're losing.
Marcus
Kevin Blackstone.
We'll move on.
The big old sword. The NC Dinos are the KBO champs. And instead of a trophy, the team took out this sword of all time list of trophies, KB. Where is the sword rank?
Well, you know, I was going to put it up there because I thought it was like the Sword of Damocles or something like that. But this is from a video game. A video game. How far back in history do video games go? Back to Pong?
This is a
stop
terrible
it.
Idea. Somebody's going to get stabbed.
Oh, would you stop? So that's enough for you. The Sword of Damocles is hanging over Plaschke now. Here's what they should have did for the MVP. They lock it in the stone there. Every player tries to pull it out, and then they unlock it for the MVP. Sword in the stone situation. Speaking
Somebody's
of the stone, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Thank you very much for this. And on the eve of Thanksgiving, one more time, if I can just talk to Bill Plaschke, please make your own cranberry sauce. 4 cups of cranberries, a cup of sugar, a cup of water, stir it around for about 15 minutes, throw an orange rind in it, it's perfect.
Oh,
and it doesn't have those rings on it like you get out of a tin can that's been sitting on a shelf for 100
years. But it doesn't have seeds. I don't want the seeds. I don't want the crunchiness. I want smooth cranberry jelly. Ocean Spray cranberry jelly, that's the best Thanksgiving treat anybody can get themselves.
Guys, happy Thanksgiving.
Don't text me pictures of cranberry.
Thankful you at home. Practicing gratitude is a wonderful exercise. Also, think of those families that have an empty plate at their table this year and how we can support them. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.